Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on, sing.
Like to welcome our radio broadcast to
this portion of the Breakthrough Broadcast. We are live coming from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, where God gets the glory, where God gets the honor, and where God will always get the praise. For the word of God say, if he say, if I be lifted up, he said that he'll draw all men, not some men, but he'll draw all men unto him. Therefore, the Breakthrough Broadcast will always lift up the great and mighty name of Jesus. Yes, yes, he is a King of kings, and he is a Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. So get ready to be blessed of the Lord. Yes, you still have time to call that neighbor, call that friend, call that person that you're talking to, was talking to on yesterday, and let them know that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air, and God has a blessing with their name on it. We would like to take this opportunity today to welcome you, our radio audience, again to the Breakthrough Broadcast. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome and to introduce to you our panelists, Breakthrough panelists for this afternoon, and they are as following. We would like to welcome Ms. Helen Watson, Dr. Joyce Bynes, Pastor Eric Cooper, Evangelist Jervin Spencer, Pastor Francina Shanks, and Reverend Tony Smith. We welcome all of you to the Breakthrough Broadcast. I am your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we're here that God can be exalted and that God can be praised. Listen, today our topic that we're going to be discussing here on Breakthrough Broadcast is God Rekinders Hope. And we're going to be talking about Ruth from the book of Ruth. That key verse today is taken from Ruth, the fourth chapter, the 14th verse. It reads, "Blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman." And the NIV version is, "Praise be to Lord, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer." And our central truth that we're going to be focusing on is God restore hope to those who remain faithful to him. I think that that's worth reading again. God restore hope to those who remain faithful unto him. We have three subtopics that our panel is going to be speaking on today, and they are preserve a family, and which is taken from Ruth, the first chapter, 1 through the 22nd verse. And then we're going to talk about provision, that protection and resources. And that will take us on the second chapter of Ruth, first through the 18th verse. And the third subtopic will be prepare a royal line, the purpose, prepare a royal line. And we're excited about what God is about to do. We know that our panelists, our men and women of God, is on ready, and we're getting ready at this time to go into our first part of our discussion with its preserve of family. And our first speaker and panelist that we're going to introduce today again, and welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast, is none other than Miss Helen Watson. Welcome again to Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and Breakthrough Panel. We're going to be talking about today, plan, preserve a family, and that is coming from Ruth, first chapter, 1 through the 22nd verse. And it reads, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his sons were Mahlon and Chilion. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of a woman of Moab. The name of one wife was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left with her two sons and her husband. And then she arose with her daughter-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Therefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her. And they went on their way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, Go, return each of you, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you had dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? And there are yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them all until they're grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and unto her God. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from the fallen after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. For whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee in me. When she saw that she was steadfast-minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went came into Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were coming to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came into Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. And it's saying that God has a plan. The first part is called plan. That God has a plan for this bloodline to continue, a royal bloodline. We don't ever know who he's going to use. In this sake, Ruth and Naomi, it said that Ruth claimed to Naomi. She wanted her to go back into her own land, but she clave unto her. This means God is getting ready to use people that we sometimes think that he's not going to use. God has a plan. He has a purpose for everything. Because she clave to her mother-in-law, she said, where she goes, she will go. Where she lodges, she will lodge. Her God will be her God. It means that she is seeking after God. She wants what Naomi has. Even though Naomi thinks that God has forsaken her in a way, and God has forgotten about her, he dealt with her bitterly, But in every adverse situation, we don't know what God is doing in our lives. We may not be able to see it, like Naomi couldn't see it. She just knew that she had lost her husband. She had lost her son. There was nobody to make provision for her or provide for her. But God had a plan. He was going to use Ruth, in this case, to put together and to keep this royal bloodline going. But little did Naomi know what he was doing. She just said she was going to return in her to her land, and she was going to go there, and that she heard that God was blessing his people. And the Bible says, the 22nd verse says, they came in the beginning of the barley harvest. And that says something to me, because right now she's at her lowest low. She's at her lowest point. She's in poverty. She has no one to take care of her. She has nothing of her own. She thinks she's lost everything. But the Bible says they came in at the beginning of barley harvest. Harvest means there is something that's going to be just looped upon her, that the harvest is plenty, that there's food, there's provision. That's what it tells me. But she doesn't know this right away. God uses who he will to get his work done. And this plan that he has to keep the royal bloodline going, she has no idea what's gonna go on here. God has got a plan and a purpose for all of our lives. Sometimes in adverse situations, we think we cannot see the light, but we can still pray. We can still follow him. Even though we can't see him, we still have to follow him. Just follow his lead. Just take his lead. We never know what God is going to do. We never know who he is going to use. And by Ruth being a Moabite woman, the Bible says she was a Moabite woman, that she was even forbidden. Her sons, Naomi's sons, were forbidden to even marry Ruth and the other daughter-in-law because they were Moabite. But God had it so planned that he doesn't care who he uses to get his work done. This is the plan that he ordained, that he orchestrated, and he will use who he will in adverse situations. Here Naomi is at her lowest low. She doesn't have anything, but she doesn't know what God is about to do in her life. He is about to bless her tremendously through Ruth. It's going to come through Ruth, but she doesn't know this. And when we don't know what God is doing, we just have to trust him. We just have to keep moving. We just have to feel around. We just have to pray, and we just have to know that God is in control of everything. She cannot see the provision here. She doesn't even see God's plan. She just went back to her homeland and said, this is where she's going to go. God is starting to bless his people, and that says something. God's starting to bless his people. She's going where the blessings are. She's going near the fire. She's going where she knows she can possibly be blessed by somebody, something, but she doesn't know that it's going to come through her daughter-in-law. She doesn't know that. She tried to send her on her way. Sometimes we push God's blessings away. We throw them back in his face. But some right here, God said that Ruth prayed to Naomi. She would not let her go. And when Naomi saw that she was just wasting her time telling her to go back to her mother's house, she just let her come with her. She gave up busting. She gave up trying to coerce her or trying to convince her to go home. She just let her come. But that was all in God's plan. God has a plan for all of us. We don't see it sometimes. We don't know. It's dark. It's the 12th hour. Nothing has changed. Nothing has turned around. When we start doing like Naomi, we start doing what we think is right to do. And sometimes when we put our hands on it, we mess it up. But in this case, Ruth did not give up. God did something with her heart. She claimed to Naomi, and she would not go. But Naomi tried to send her away. You know, God's got a plan. We cannot turn it around. We cannot deter it. We cannot put our hands on it. When God has orchestrated something, it will be so. And in this case, this is going to come down to this is setting up the royal bloodline, which is Jesus Christ is in this bloodline. And we cannot forget that we're on in the story. We know the story of Ruth, and we know who she married. But we cannot forget, I can't leave out, that even Boaz's mother was a harlot. She was Rahab the harlot, which helped the spies over in Joshua. And Rahab got in the royal bloodline of Jesus Christ. So God uses who he will. Sometimes we try to throw people away. We don't know what God is going to do with them and how they're going to affect our lives. We have to pray about it. We have to put it in God's hand. His mother was a harlot. And we all know what a harlot is, but she somehow got in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And there is Boaz. And here is God's plan for provision. Here is God's plan for Naomi and provision for Naomi and for Ruth. He's going to set it up so that Naomi is going to be blessed for the rest of her life. She's going to be taken care of. Provision is going to be made there. So, listening audience, radio audience, I want you to know sometimes we cannot see because it's so dark. We can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we know that God has full control of our lives. All we have to do is trust him, not lean to our own understanding, but trust him and know that God is going to bless. He is going to turn it around for our good. We do things, we go through things, not for ourselves, but we go through things for other people. Hurt, distress, brokenness, anything, the scars we have on our hearts, on our minds, we go through for other people. If we can get that in our minds, that we go through things for other people, just not for ourselves, just to help us get to a place that God would have us to be. That's what we have to understand. This whole story is God making provision. He's making plans. He's putting this raw bloodline together because Jesus Christ had to come. And this is the way that he came. His royal bloodline goes on from Rahab with Mary Solomon, which got Boaz, and Boaz and Ruth got together, and here it goes. We see the royal bloodline being formed to get Jesus here on the cross to die for our sins and to save us, save the whole world. So listening on it, sometimes we don't know what God is doing. Just be patient. Look to him. Pray. Don't throw his blessings back in his face. Don't put your hands on things you don't know about, because sometimes God is working. He works in mysterious ways and strangers. If we ask him, he will tell us. But some things he's not going to let you know because you're going to mess, you're going to bother with it. Naomi tried to shove Ruth away. She tried to send her home. But what if she would have accomplished that? God was trying to set it up where she's going to be provided for the rest of her life. So I'm saying today, just look to God. We don't know what he's doing always. In our darkest hour, at a midnight hour, he's going to turn around, and then we'll start to see what he is trying to put together. So trust God. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust him in everything, and he will direct your path. He will make you to see what he is doing. But when he's working, let him work. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Helen Watson, for sharing with us today. Thank God for part one, a preserve, a family, the plan that God has for us people. Yes, radio audience. Yes, God has a plan for his people. And I thank God for the topic. God rekindles. Oh, somebody needs to know that God will rekindle. God will cause that hope to come alive. God will cause things that we not even expecting. I believe the word of God says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Even when things feel dreary, seem hopeless in our lives, we got to know that God, that he is God, and that he is God all by himself. So our dependency is not on man, but our dependency and our faith and our trust is on the Almighty God. At this time, we're getting ready to welcome our second panelist to Breakthrough Broadcast. We'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Dr. Joyce Vines, and she's going to come and she's going to talk to us about part two of Preserve a Family. Dr. Vines, welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you so much, Dr. McCoy. I am so happy to be here today and to share with the radio audience and those in the panel about the story of Ruth. It's kind of one of my favorite stories because sometimes we can not think and know that God loves us in spite of, and we can go through a lot of trials and tribulations and thinking that he doesn't care. But to know in the end that he'll always be with us. He promised to never leave us, nor has he promised to forsake us. And I was sitting here about to just leave my card off because the panelist before me, she just expounded on everything so well. So I was like, I don't have anything else to say because Ms. Watson really told it kind of like the story about it, but I just want to add a few things to that and maybe it'll be a blessing to someone in the audience today and how that loyalty, when I think about Ruth, is kind of describe her and how she, the loyalty that she was. It's like a concept that seems so foreign to today's culture because people are not loyal. And, you know, you can't hardly find people to actually be like a Ruth. But we're looking for some more of those women in the world today. And I looked over and I think about like a prisoner without hope. They may break down long before the date of release, or a patient without hope. They deteriorate often very fast because they die real quick because there is no hope. Or it can be an overworked employee or a supervisor without hope. They buckle under the strain of his and hers responsibilities and who do this and who do that. But it's today that we have to know that if God done it for Ruth, Naomi, he would do the same thing for us. And there is hope in our lives today. Hope appears early in the book of Ruth. And a woman who had lost her husband, who had lost her sons. She was in a foreign land, and she truly appeared to have no hope. And all that was about to change. We have to know that there is change. There is change even when we look at the circumstances of what's going on in the world today. And we think that there is no change. Yes, there is change. Change is coming. God has something already excited for his people. And to know that there is nothing that we can do or anything that we can get into or anything that can happen to us, that there will not be a change. Because we have to wait until that change comes. Because if we have that on the inside of us, knowing that change is there, then we have the hope that she had even in this time. And we have to know that this was just a time of famine. You know, famine was going on in the land. There were byproducts of sin, judgment imposed by the people upon themselves through their disobedience. And that's what's happening to us today, the disobedience that's happening in the world today. It imposed judgment that is going on in America right now. But those of us who know that God promised to never leave us, he promised to never forsake us, that he will always be there, that we can know for sure, we can rest for sure, that God will preserve you until that day. We don't have to go about and do what the world is doing, act like the world. And we're in the world, but the Bible says we're not of the world. So this particular about Ruth, in the verses, I look back in verse 15 to 18, that kind of talks about finally through the tears of Oprah, it conceded to be the mother-in-law wishes to return to Moab. Ruth is insistent. She was intrigued. She says, entreat me not to leave you. We have to be persistent in this hour. We have to know that we cannot just go about doing what we have to do or what we want to do, but what we see, we must pursue until it happens. We must reach out and grab. When the opportunity presents itself, we have to know how we have to reach out and grab. Stay with it until it happens. So she clearly is reaching beyond friendship to faith. And the Lord said, do so. Indicate Ruth understood the nature of Yahweh. With the nature, she invokes his name with an oath. Her commitment is rooted in an understanding of the living God of whom that she has through the oath. We have to know in our knowings who God is to us. And he said that I will preserve you. I will keep you in the perfect peace and the perfect will of God if we keep our minds on him, being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing that this labor is not in vain. So to the radio audience that's out there today, and to know, don't look at the circumstances that are around you, the things that are going on that's out in the world that we can't hardly turn on the news unless we see something different every 10, 15 minutes. Every day we got a new breaking news, whatever you see. But to know your promises of God is yes and amen. God has promised to preserve us. He promised to keep us. But we have to stay in his will. We have to stay in his word. We have to keep ourselves it belongs to the Lord. But we are children of the Most High, and there is something special in being a king's kid. There is something special in being a child of the Most High. And so we don't get weary in well-doing, least that we shall faint not. But when we see these things, God says, look up, because your redemption shall draw now. So I'm just excited. I'm just overwhelmed about what God is doing in this hour. Because to me, it is nothing to get worried about. It's just knowing that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is right at hand. It is right up on us. And I'm just excited for the people who is excited about what is going on, not getting involved and intrigued with what they're talking about and what the world is doing, but to know that when you're covered under the blood of Jesus, there is nothing and there is nobody can take that away from you. So with that, I've got a question because I'm almost about to run in my own house, but God is good, and I'm just excited about being a part of what is happening through breakthrough, because in 2012, there is the biggest breakthrough that the body of Christ is going to receive, and it's going to happen this year within 2020.
Thank you, Dr. Bynes. We thank God for the revelation knowledge that God has given to these women of God. Talking about preserving a family, it is God's plan to preserve his people, to keep his people in every way. And we can see the prime example of God preserving, of God keeping his people. And we thank God. But even when things look dreary, when things look sad, when things look hopeless, it let us know today that we can put our trust, our confidence, our faith, we can rely on God. Because the Word of God says there is nothing too hard for God. The Word of God tells us that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I believe that even in the darkest hour, the panelists have brought up Dr. Bynes and also Ms. Helen Watson have brought and told us how this woman, the army, was without a husband. A husband had died. Her sons had two sons, and yet they was taken away as well. And it left her. It left her and her two daughters-in-law. She didn't know what to do. But I just believe, and as the word came forth, we see that God was making provision, that God was preserving that family, that God was orchestrating the way that they were to go. It was so beautiful to see the handwork of God. It was so beautiful to see the things and the way that she was thinking, God let her know that he was the way. He was a way for her to be taken care of. I thank God for the book of Ruth, and I can honestly say and agree with Dr. Bynes that this is one of my favorite books as well. I can thank God because of how God used this woman to be able to be even written within the generation, the books of in the Bible even now. Because of the fact that I believe, even when I think about how she's seen something in Naomi, she could have gone and she could have left just like Oprah did, but she wanted the God, not just Naomi, but she loved her, yes, but she wanted the God that Naomi served. She seen a difference in her life. Can someone see a difference in your life? Can somebody see Jesus Christ? So can someone, my question is, to call that person or people to want to follow Jesus Christ and want to have more of Christ, want to have more of God in their life? I thank God because she was committed. She's a woman of commit. She was committed to Naomi.
and she wanted to be there for her. It wasn't a just mouthing or some words that she was expressing. She wasn't just saying that, I love you, Naomi, but she was going to be with Naomi wherever she goes. And she knew, I believe, that Naomi had the word of life and that God had put that within her so that she would be able to follow her when she left that country. Yes, a foreign woman. Yes. And when you look at it, poor, seemed to be helpless, seemed to be without, but yet God is able to preserve. God is able to keep you even as he kept these women of God. Let's go a little further. We're going to go to protection and resources. And that scripture is taken from Ruth, the first chapter, first through the 18th verse. And we're getting ready to welcome Pastor Eric Hooper, who's going to be speaking from Ruth, the first chapter through the 9th verse. And he is going to bless us as always. And listen, radio audience, as God continually to bless you richly through the word of God. Pastor Hooper, welcome to Breakthrough.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. And also to the panel, God bless you all, as well as the radio listeners out there in radio land. God bless you all, and thank you all for tuning in today. And I'll be reading from the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And the subtopic is provision, protection, and resources. And it reads from verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, of whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. And go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Amen. And we're talking about protection as well as provision. And then, you know, protection is the preservation from injury or harm. And we know that when God makes us a promise, God is going to see fit that he causes his promise to come to pass in our lives. So that's one thing that we have to remember. And also, resources is a source of supply or support or aid, especially one that can be drawn up when needed. And we know that the Lord is, how the scripture declares, that my God that shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So when we're walking with God and it seems as though we've lost things or something, just like it took place in the first chapter of this story, how, you know, Naomi lost her husband, and then Ruth, she lost her husband, and the other sister as well, Orpah. It seemed like because those husbands, they were the providers, the sole providers for those wives. And the thing about it is it seemed like that provision had been lost. And this is for anybody out there who had been walking in the promises of God or walking with God, but along that way, it seemed like things that you needed along the journey, they had been lost, or somehow the enemy came in and stole them. Which is, I just want you to know that sometimes it is not the enemy that is stealing things. Sometimes things in your life expire. There are people in your life that you're going to lose along the way in this walk with God. Not saying that they'll die, but relationships sometimes may die because that is as far as God has permitted that person to go with you in life or on your journey and your walk with him. So what you have to remember is anytime one door closes, God always has another door that is open that is waiting on you, because he says, I place before you an open door in the book of Revelations. And the thing about it, we must remember that God is the author and the finish. Jesus Christ, he's the author and the finish of our faith. So therefore, if we haven't reached that ultimate place where the Lord has promised that we should be, and that the promise that he made before the foundation for over our lives, we have to remember that God is not through with us yet, and God does not lie. And also remember, your protection solely comes from God. You may have had someone in your life that seemed that they had provided protection, and there was a resource. In actuality, they were not your protection. God anointed them to be your protection, but at the same time, they were a source. God is your God. They were a resource, and God is your source. He's your sole provider. So I just wanted to encourage the listeners out there in Radio Land today that remember that God can supply every need. All you have to do is trust him and know that he's not going to let anything or anybody harm you or to take you out, because it's not God's will that you should perish, you know, but all that you should have eternal life. But until you leave this earth, you're to be occupied. You're to be working. Just as Ruth did, she said, let me go back to verse 2. And Ruth was very good. This is one of the characteristic traits of Ruth. She was very confident. See, in verse 2 it said, and Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me go now to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. Okay, she was telling Naomi that. So therefore, Ruth knew that she had the ability or the capability of providing or a service to somebody. She was confident in her ability. And that's one thing I want to encourage, not just the ladies or the sisters, but also the men, that God has placed something in your hand that you can do, and you should exercise that. Our scripture declares that to every man is given the measure of faith, but the Lord has also given us gifts, and he's given us talents. So what we should do to gain to find ourselves, we must first search within us to see what God has placed within our lives. And this story also deals with being on the journey of coming to a place of meeting your mate. Some of us may have been married before. We may have gone through divorces, or we may be widows or widowers, or whatever the case may be. And you desire to marry again. You desire to be in a relationship, a God-fearing relationship. But the thing about it is, you must remember to keep the faith. You must remember to continue to walk with God according to his will and according to his standard. And what will happen is God will provide your protection. He will always provide your resources. But the thing about it is, you must stay in the will of God to see the promises of God to come to pass in your life. And what happened was, God permitted Ruth, because she remained faithful. What happened was, God permitted Ruth to come into an alignment with a man who was not only of wealth, but he was a godly man. And you can see that in verse 4. It says, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. He acknowledged the Lord. The scripture declares that if you acknowledge the Lord, it says, trust the Lord with all thy heart, lean unto thy own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. And this is was one of the first things that came out of Boaz's mouth when he came amongst the reapers. And he told them, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And so this man, he was a godly man. The Lord was one of the first things that came out of his mouth. And this shows a portion of his character. And so as the story goes on, and then when he came, he was also a businessman, but he also was very noticeable of his business. And he saw where Ruth was in the field, and she was doing what she was doing as far as she was gleaning or she was gathering after the reapers. And he took notice of her. And sometimes what you need to do is, in order to be recognized, don't worry about when the blessings come. You just need to keep your head down and continue to labor, to continue to do God's will, continue to do what God has called you to do. Be faithful to whatever God has applied to your hands. And before you know it, you will look up and you will be in a place of blessing just like Ruth was. When Ruth, because then what she said in verse 2, how she said she shall find grace. And we knew that that grace is that unmerited favor, that favor that we can, we don't deserve, we can't earn. And what happens, God allowed her and divinely connected them together that she could find grace in the eyes of Boaz. So I just want to encourage the listeners also today is that God has a Boaz for you, whether you're a male and you're looking for a spouse, he has that Ruth for you, or if you're a female and he has that and you're looking for a husband, he has that Boaz for you. But the thing about it is you must remain committed and do it God's way. Don't take shortcuts. Don't take timeouts for moments of sin that will cause you to miss out on your blessing, you know, because God desires to bring you to the things that he's promised in your life. But the only way that it won't happen is if you mess it up or if you drop the ball. So the thing about it, I just want to encourage you all today that if you've lost something or if you've lost someone or you've lost relationships, I just want to encourage you to continue to work with the things that God has applied to your hands. Exercise your talents, exercise your gifts in the kingdom of God. For one thing, we don't know when the Lord will come back. And so he said, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith upon the earth? And our answer to that should be yes, as individuals. We want to be found faithful, first and foremost, committed to the Lord before we commit to anything else. And when we do that, all what happens is God will eventually add. He says, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added. So the very things that are a necessity for your life to accomplish the will of God and the promises of God, you have to do them by seeking God's way and doing it in the kingdom way. Amen. So I just want to encourage you all today that, and one more thing, verse 9, he says, lift up thine eyes, lift up thine eyes, be on the field that they do reap, and go not after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee when thou art athirst? Go into the vessels and drink of that which young men have drawn. So here in the chapter, just in this one verse, is showing that there's provision and there's protection. Because whatever her need was, God was speaking through this man to show this woman that you're in the place where you're supposed to be. You're in the place where there's divine appointment. This is a divine meeting. This is a divine place for you to be in. God has appointed you to be in the place where she is at that time to meet Boaz. And when she looked around, the things that she needed, God provided through Boaz. Amen. So I just want to encourage you today that it doesn't matter what you've lost, how painful that it may have been, keep your eyes focused on the prize. Stay focused and stay in the will of God, and God will still ultimately bring you to that place where he's ordained for you to be, where he's promised you to be. Amen? Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Hooper, for imparting that word unto us today, for blessing us, for telling us about provision, for telling us about the protection and the resources that God had for these women of God. And not only for them, God has those same and more made provision for us, given us protection, and also he has resources. So when we look at the example of faith, example of how God will never leave us, will not never forsake us. I believe in the scripture when David said, you know what he said? He said, I've been young, but now I'm old. But never have I seen the righteous forsake us or see begging bread. So I believe even in that famine, even in the things that have gone through, God made provision for them. He rekindled, he opened up doors for them. He made ways when it seemed to be no way. Even they didn't know what the experience was going to be. They didn't know what the provision was going to be, but they were going in faith, you know, just to believe God. Naomi decided she'll go back to where she was once, was born, where she once lived, and she knew that things had changed. And I believe I heard Dr. Bynum say there is a change coming. There is a change coming. And no matter what the enemy may say, no matter what our economy may say, and no matter what people try to say about the economy and about life, We have to look to Jesus Christ, who is the author to finish our faith, because he would not leave us nor forsake us. He will be there for us. He would give us that husband, as Pastor Hooper says, that wife. He'll give us that Boaz, you know, whatever it is in our life. But we need to trust God. He'll make those provisions for us daily. You may have looked in your purse or your pocketbook this morning, and maybe you didn't see what you desire to see in that purse or that pocketbook. Or maybe you looked at that statement on your account, on your bank account, and maybe it didn't dictate to you what you would want it to have dictated to you or to say what was in there. But I'm telling you, if you just trust God and believe God for him to move on your behalf, then God certainly will move on your behalf. At this time, we're getting ready. Thank you again, Pastor Hooper. We're getting ready to welcome Pastor Francina Shanks. She is coming to bless us. She's going to be speaking from Ruth, the 7th chapter, the 10th through the 18th verse, and we thank God for the woman of God. Welcome, Pastor Shanks, to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and to God be the glory for the great things he has done and will do. Glory to God. I just thank the Lord today to be on this panel with all the ministers that spoke, and I just thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I will be coming right behind Pastor Cooper from where he left off, from the 2nd chapter of Ruth, the 10th verse. And I will start at the 10th verse. Praise God. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes?" This is Ruth talking to Boaz. "That you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner." And I'm reading to you from the Women's Destiny Bible, the NIV Bible, King James Version, verse 11. "And Boaz answered and said to her, 'It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of her of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before.'" Verse 12, "The Lord repay your work and give you a full reward." Let me rephrase that again. "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Verse 13, "Then she said, 'Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, and though I am not like one of your maidservants.'" Verse 14, "Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, 'Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.'" Verse 17, "So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." Verse 18, "Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, so she brought out and gave it to her, which she had kept back after she had been sufficed or satisfied." That means she had ate enough. She was full. Praise God. Well, you see, to be a gleaner was a lowly job, because the job of a gleaner was to go behind the reapers and pick up what was left in the field. To pick up whatever was left in the field. That's what a gleaner's job was. So Ruth didn't mind doing that. She humbly went and gleaned in the field of Boaz, her kinsman. She found out later on from the workers in the field that this was the field of Boaz, the kinsman of Naomi, her mother-in-law, which was her kinsman also. And so she gleaned on in that field and picked up what was left down there. And when Boaz saw her, he inquired of his men, said, who is this maiden right here? Who is this woman, in other words? And they say, oh, she's the daughter-in-law of your kinswoman, Naomi. So Boaz went to her, and he told his servants to let her pick up whatever she wanted. Don't stop her. Don't even reproach her. Leave her alone. Let her pick up what she wanted to pick up. And so God gave her favor right then through Boaz. And so Ruth was so amazed that she was given this favor by Boaz. But see, that's how God is. And Boaz represents a type of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Messiah. Boaz here is called the kinsman redeemer in this love story. And that's what Jesus is to us. He's our kinsman redeemer. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad Jesus is our kinsman redeemer, not only to us Christians, but also to the people of Israel also. He was the kinsman redeemer, and to us that come to know Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so here, Ruth, her name means friendship, friend. Ruth became a friend of God. That's the way God wants us to become, his friend. He wants to be a friend to us, like Ruth became a friend to him. Praise God. He wants us to become friends to him. Praise God. And the Bible says, here go Ruth sifting among the sheaves. Boaz told his workers, let her alone, let her even pick up, sift and pick up among the sheaves. And the scripture says over in Psalms, praise God. Over in Psalm 126, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Well, you see, Naomi had she had lost her husband. She had lost two sons. The Bible says, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. So her husband and two sons had been sown. They had died. Praise God. Hallelujah. And here goes the Lord blessing Naomi beyond measure. She had no idea that her daughter-in-law was going to be in the royal family or in the line of Jesus Christ, as God had spoke through the woman of God, Helen Watson, earlier. Naomi or Ruth had no idea. They didn't have a clue what was going on. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ died. The scriptures say, blessed is the man that dies on the tree. Cursed. He became a curse for us that knew no sin. You know, he didn't have the sin nature like we have. Praise God. He did not have that sinful nature. Praise God. And the Bible says in Galatians, praise God, the third chapter, praise God, and the 13th verse, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. But it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Hallelujah, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And see, we are the Gentile believers. We weren't born Jewish, but we were grafted in to that olive tree. Israel is the natural branches, and we've been grafted in to be partakers of that covenant that God gave to Abraham. And so Jesus Christ became our kinsman redeemer, praise God, I'm so glad Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Praise God to us that believe, to us Gentiles, and then to the Jew. Because, you know, God has opened the eyes of Israel, praise God, so they now know that he is the Messiah that they have been waiting on for years and years. Jews all over the world now are repenting. God is opening up their eyes, and now they're seeing that Jesus is the Messiah. And we, the Gentile believers, we've been grafted in. Oh, the goodness and the mercy of God, that we should be partakers of his glory. God is so good. For John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we have been grafted in, praise God. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer, and Boaz is a type of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. God is so good. I'm telling you, I'm so excited about what God has did and what he is going to do. And many of us have been in situations like Ruth. We've been on a job that we don't want to be in. It might be a lowly paying job, but that's okay. Give God thanks anyway, because he will bring you out. He will give you a promotion. You just hang on in there. You've learned all, some of you have been on a job, you've learned all the ins and outs of the business, from the top to the bottom, from the bottom to the top, and you've been overlooked. You haven't been given a raise in I don't know how many years. You haven't been given that promotion, but that's okay. Praise the Lord, because promotion comes from God. Hang on in there. And like Ruth did, see how God gave her favor? Her name means friendship, a friend. She became a friend of God. God gave her favor through Boaz. Boaz is a type of Jesus. My God, God will give you favor, people of God, men and women of God. He will give you favor. All you got to do is seek his will to do his will. And sometimes you want to throw in the towel. Some of y'all have gotten so discouraged. You went through many trials and tests, and you about ready to throw in the towel. I've been there. You're in a fight. The Bible says we got to fight the good fight of faith. We got to lay hold on to eternal life. And so I read the middle of the book. I'm talking about the Bible now. I read the end of the book. And we win. We win. So be encouraged. We win. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. I've been there where I wanted to throw in the towel. I've gotten tired. I know how it is to be working on a job or doing something. You not might not be working on a job. You might be doing something in your home. You might be ministering to those in your home. That is a job. And sometimes you be so tired, everybody be pulling on you here and there and pulling and tugging. And you just feel so frustrated, you want to give up and throw in the towel. But I'm here to tell you today, don't throw in the towel. I've been there. I got tired. But the Lord spoke to me in my spirit how he got tired. He got tired of them people in the temple selling doves and lambs in the temple. The Bible say he got tired. He got angry. He went in there and beat them out of there. He got tired. He know what we go through. Moses got tired of the children of Israel murmuring and complaining. They wanted meat, so God gave them meat. And he made them eat it until it filled them up, and they began to die because they always was complaining, murmuring and complaining. We want to go back into Egypt. Some of you want to go back. Don't go back. I know I'm not going back. God done brought me too far for me to turn around. Look at Ruth, for example. She came out of Moab, a city that was bound with idolatry. But she followed her mother-in-law, Naomi, to a land that she didn't know anything about. She was a foreigner in that land. But she told Naomi, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Your God shall be my God. Wherever you go ahead, I'm going to follow you, Naomi. And that's how we got to be with God. We got to follow him on to the end. I remember my grandmother used to sing this song all the time. I believe I run on and see what the end going to be. Well, I got to go on and see what the end going to be. I know what the end going to be. God declared the end before the beginning. And the Lord spoke to me and said, my daughter, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Though your beginning was small, your latter end shall be great. And so look at Ruth. Her beginning was small, but God made her latter end great because she became a woman of destiny. She was brought into the royal family of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Her and Boaz, well, I ain't going to finish telling them, let the other minister speak on that. Praise God. But she was in the lineage of the royal household of David and also of Jesus Christ, and she did not know. Naomi didn't even have a clue. Ruth didn't have a clue. And so they are inspiration to all of us women and men. Praise God. And I want to just add this on before I close. One more time I want to say, don't give up, men and women of God. You're going through tests now and trials. Don't give up. Hang on in there. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Praise God. Hang on in there. Don't give up. Continue to trust in God. And I want to add this on. As Pastor Cooper was talking to the men and women by waiting on the women to wait on their Ruth and the men to wait on their Boaz, the Bible says, you women, I'm talking to you women now because I'm a woman, wait, I say, on the Lord. The Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Don't start looking at Brother John and Brother Jim, and he might look real handsome, and, oh, he looks so good. I mean, cast those thoughts down. Wait on the Lord and seek his will. He will send the husband he got for you to you. I'm speaking to the women now. And Pastor Cooper has spoken to the men and the women, but to the men. But you women, I'm talking to you now. Wait on God. Wait on God to send you your Boaz. He's coming. And I just want to encourage the men and women today in God, hang on in there. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. In fact, you don't have a towel to go in. Hang on in there and fight the good fight of faith. I know you're getting tired. Jesus himself got tired. So he knows. The Bible says he's been touched with the infirmity, the same infirmities we've been touched with. So he knows. So without sin, he didn't have that old sinful nature that we have. That old Adam nature. He didn't have that old Eve nature. So you women of God out there, go ahead and let God crucify Eve in you, that old Eve nature. And you men, let him crucify that old Adam nature in you. And don't throw in the towel. Hang on in there and be encouraged in the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much for sharing with us and letting the Lord use you, Pastor Shanks, about our provision, about our protection, about the favor, about being faithful to God, because we must be faithful to God. We must wait on the Lord, and we must be of good courage. I thank God for all that Pastor Shanks has given us and shared with us today, as well as the other panelists. Quickly, I want to go back to Dr. Bynes, and I want her to take a minute and to share with us what evidence of God provision do you see in your life each day, Dr. Bynes?
Yes, Dr. McCoy. The evidence that I've seen in my life in the provision that God has made for me is that he has given me evidence to say it's never too late. It doesn't matter where we fall at or in, and coming up and when I was young and being able to lose my mother when I was 14 years old and being raised by my father, being the youngest of six in the family, you just get caught up in the where do I belong with a dad here trying to finish raising some children in the home, older sisters and brothers. As they got older, they moved out, and sometimes it made me feel as if that I didn't have a place, because when you lose someone that's dear to you and being in the Naomi's shoe and losing her children and not knowing where to turn, but I'm being there. But I knew that God preserved me throughout all of those years. My dad would dare to get married until I became 20 years old, and that was a good thing for us, and him still being there in the home. And that was just showing my will of God, saying, I'm preserving you throughout all of this neighborhood, having problems in the neighborhood with people thinking. And the first thing people think with young girls in the house is that, and there is no woman in the house, that their pregnancy is going to happen. But none of that didn't even happen until I was married at 22 and leaving away from home. And just seeing the work, the hands of the Lord, saying, I'm preserving you. I'm keeping you. I'm going to keep you until that day. And regardless of what people will say, but God, it lets us know that God still yet preserves us throughout eternity. And being married and staying in my marriage, preserving me through a marriage that sometimes can start out real rugged, but being in this marriage for 47 years, seeing my children grow up, seeing them getting married, seeing their marriages is still being pertained by the Lord, that's still that showing me that God is still preserving. You know, wanting to finish college, but I couldn't finish college till after my kids finished college because I had to struggle to try to give them, my husband and I, give them a great life. And so, and then I decided to go back to college at 47 years old. God just preserves you throughout. There's just no telling what he would do. So to the listening audience that's out there today who might be saying, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the mouths of what if I've done this, or what if I've not gone there, what if I developed the talent that maybe God had given them. But remember that the Lord forgives you for your past when you give it to him. There is nothing that he won't forgive you of. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter how far you've been out there in the field. It doesn't matter how low that you get. You're never too low that God cannot pick you up. You're never out too far that he can't reach out and touch you and pull you back in. You will never fall so low that he cannot reach down and that he will not pick you up. So as we just looked at this story of Ruth and how everybody have just been departed today into the lives of people, that their airways are open up to people to hear the word of the Lord, hear what God is saying in this hour to his people, that everything is in God's plan. Regardless of how you start out, it doesn't mean that you have to stay there where you was before, but to know that God is still with you, even when it's all said and done. Though it might look appear that everything was might have been, Naomi was justified in her feeling that there was difficulties in her circumstances, but it is important to know that she made a willful choice and how that she would respond to God in the midst of her trials. So in the midst of your trials, it is very important how you will respond to the voice of the Lord who is speaking in this hour to all of us, and to go out and he will keep you. God is a keeper. We want to be kept. There's no other way that we can ever be kept in whatever situation that we're in. And I just love what the brother said about, you know, we're not going out there just picking whomever that we choose, but waiting on the Lord and having the Lord to show us, because whoever that's out there for us, whoever that God has for you, it's only for you. And so when we choose the way that God would have us to choose, because if you haven't been married yet, or you're looking for your mate, or your spouse has not come along yet, just wait on God. They're there. But sometimes God has to work his will in that individual. And then when he gets through with his will in the individual, then the individual is ready to come and receive the mate that God has for them. And that's what this is just an exciting time to be alive. There's no time to hold your head down, no time to be down, but it is time for the saints of God to just lift up our heads. As the Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. But we know that the King of Glory is here for us. He is here. So, Dr. McCoy, thank you so much. And I just excited to know that there are other women, men and women of God who are out there that are still lifting up the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's exciting to know that even the airways of Christ has been disturbed right now, to know that God's work is going on in the lives of his people.
Thank you, Dr. Bynes, for sharing with us, for giving us that evidence and telling us about the evidence of God's provision in your life through what God did for you and how he brought you this far by faith. At this time, we're getting ready. Our radio audience, we've been talking about God rekindles hope. God rekindles hope. We're getting ready to go into our last topic for this evening, and we're going to be talking about purpose. Prepare a royal line. And we're getting ready to welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast Evangelist Jer Dean Spencer. Welcome to Breakthrough Broadcast, my friend.
Lord, amen. Radio broadcast, amen. And thank you, Dr. McCoy. I'm going to be reading from the book of Ruth, the fourth chapter, out of the King James Version, verses 13 through 22. And it says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, have bore him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadiah, and Amminadiah begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salem, and Salem begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David." Amen. And here we see, amen, that the purpose, hallelujah, and the plan was of, in other words, the setup of a royal line. And, you know, and I was listening to the panelists and to each one and how God has used them and how it started out with, in other words, the plan and preserve a family, and then went into provisions, protection, and resources. And here it is up with purpose, prepare a royal line. And, you know, I was looking at how sometimes we don't realize, amen, what our plan is, but God knows our plan, because he said in his word, he said that he even know, I mean, how many the hairs we have on our head. Our hairs are numbered, so he even knows that about us. So it just shows here in the book of Ruth that he is the beginning and he is the end. He is Alpha and he is Omega, and he knows the plan that he has for us. When we, in other words, surrender to him and give our life to him, he has the plan. And here he gave a demonstration for how Ruth, you know, being a Moabite, came from a different, in other words, nation, but in other words, surrender and came and grabbed a hold of her mother-in-law, God, in other words, who she worshipped. And she also listened to the instructions that her mother-in-law gave her, and she was obedient to follow those instructions. And so now look at how, in other words, when we give our life unto God, and how, in other words, he would give us instructions. He would, in other words, direct us in the plan that he has for us. And it's a thing about it that we got to be willing to let go, because Ruth, she let go. She left everything behind, in other words, and grabbed a hold of that what was being presented to her and what was being offered to her. And in the midst of all that, she stayed humble. She stayed humble. In other words, it didn't, you know, matter. It didn't look, it didn't matter to her where it looked like where she began. Amen. But in other words, I look at how God, in other words, showed and exemplified her finish. And, you know, and that's what the Lord is saying to us today and to the Breakthrough Broadcast, that, amen, once you give your life to him, don't get caught up in your beginning. Amen. But in other words, look at and know that God has a plan for you. You know, that how in that plan, if we be obedient to follow the instructions, to seek him, amen. And, you know, sometimes we don't have the understanding when God is telling us to do something, but it's okay. But just be obedient and do it. How in the end, he, in other words, going to, amen, to fulfill something and to bring us into the blessings and what he has for us. And I look at here in the book of Ruth how, in other words, her surrendering and being obedient to follow, follow the instructions. Amen. Didn't question this and didn't question that when Naaman was telling her what to do. And then how she found favor. Amen. Found favor with Boaz, and not only found favor, but became his wife. And amen. And how, in other words, brought forth, amen, that child. Amen. Which, amen, end up going into a royal line. So, you know, we have to, in other words, thank you, Lord, going back to the place of surrendering and letting go. Amen. When we have surrendered and let go, when we've given our life to Christ, we do truly have to, in our heart, not only speak it, but we have to believe it, that he is head, and we allow him to be head, because he knows the plan for us. He knows the plan. The only thing he wants to demonstrate to us is that he is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He knows. He knows the middle part. He knows everything. He knows the things that, hallelujah, we're not going to get right away, but he knows. He knows our beginning and our end. And so, and I just, amen, say to, amen, the listeners today, amen, surrender, let go. Truly give it over to the Lord and allow him to show you, to speak to you, to lead you and to guide you into the plan that he has for you. And the plan that he has for you, there's no failure in God, no failure in God, when you allow him to complete that good work, what he started. And he's going to do it. He's going to complete that good work that he started in us. Amen. But we've got, in other words, keep ourselves, in other words, humble. Amen. In other words, don't look at what's going on. Don't look at, you know, I'm not feeling this. I don't see this, and I don't have an understanding, and, you know, and I want to be, you know, this big and great. You know what? It's okay. In other words, just, in other words, surrender, let go, and let God. Amen, because he has a plan, and he knows. He knows. Once we surrender, he knows. He knows the plan that he has for us. And it's a plan to prosper. It's a plan to bless us. It's a plan, amen, to get us into that place, not only, you know, for us, but it's always for somebody else. Because we don't know who God has set aside and whose path we're going to cross, that, amen, going to need what we have been through, amen, to experience and to, in other words, experiences to help them along the way. So whatever we're going through, amen, just know, amen, amen, that God has a plan. And when we surrender to his plan, because he is the sovereign God, we surrender to him, amen, he is Alpha and Omega, and he will instruct us and direct us. Amen. And he didn't say that it was all going to be easy, and it's not going to all be easy. But in other words, we got to surrender. We got to, amen, let go, and we got to trust him. And we got to believe that what he's speaking to us, that what he's showing us, that what he's telling us to do. Amen. Because it's all for him. It's all to him, and he's the one that's going to get the glory out of our lives. Amen. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you so much, Evangelist Spencer, for sharing with us. And I thank God, because you were telling us to let go, surrender, to let go. We have to surrender our lives unto the Lord, no matter what it is, to surrender. And that is what example that Ruth did. She surrendered to her mother-in-law. She didn't care. You know, sometimes people make jokes and make fun about their mother-in-law, but even as from the beginning, when I begin to think about the mother-in-law, that mother-in-law can be a blessing. So it was with Naomi. Ruth was a blessing to her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law was a blessing to her. She seen something in Naomi that caused her to gain favor, and she just didn't leave her. You know, she didn't just want to get away. Ruth did from her mother-in-law. This was just because she lost her husband. This wasn't. She had felt it was a time for me to depart. It's a time for me to get away. It's a time for me to make my escape. It's a time for me to make an excuse. But she wanted to cleave unto her. She felt she had that love on the inside. It was a true love. You know, it wasn't. It was something that was genuine. It was real. So I thank God, the Lord, that God put these women together. And through that, even though she didn't think she could ever bring forth a child. But yet God caused Boaz to come into Ruth's life. And thank you, God, that she was able in order to have a baby, have that baby that she could be called a part of her because the connection, because of what God did. God did something special. And even if God did something special to these two women and worked in their lives, but it seems so difficult. Yes, sometimes it might seem difficult. Yes, sometimes it may be difficult. But yet we have to look to God, who is the Alpha finisher of our faith. We have to look to God, who will never leave us nor forsake us. And when I think about Beth, Ruth did not forsake Naomi, but she was with her. And Boaz picked that up, the way that she stood with her mother-in-law, and the way that she took care of her mother-in-law. Yet God rewarded. God gave her favor. God gave this woman of God favor and blessed the two women of God. At this time, we're getting ready. Praise God. God is so good and worthy to be praised. We thank God for we're getting ready to go into the same topic, and we have been so truly blessed from what God has given today and what God has provided and what God has given his people today. And we're getting ready to welcome to our broadcast Reverend Tony Smith. He's going to come. He's going to bless us. He's going to give us what God has given us, and he's going to be talking about purpose. Prepare a royal line. Reverend Tony Smith, welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Amen. Amen. Truly, indeed, this is a treat as well as a blessing. And at this moment, I thank you, Dr. McCoy, for inviting me out this afternoon to be a blessing to all the listeners out there listening and tuning in with us today. I thank God for all the panelists, my brothers and sisters of Christ. God truly use you. As I was sitting back and listening what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, I was truly blessed in my spirit. And I have some wonderful things here that God has prepared in my spirit to impart in the body of Christ, as well as them that don't know the troubles that you're going through. But we want to give you some more enlightenment here. We're looking into the book of Ruth, amen, and which is one of my favorite books, too. But it's always a pleasure to hear how the Holy Spirit gives something different every time. That moved my spirit indeed. But I want us to look at one thing. We're dealing with the subject, prepare a royal line. Well, the Spirit of God gave me an extended version to it. He said, and as I prepare a royal line in their spirit, he said, I also want them to prepare for a greater move. Prepare for a greater move in this time and season, because a lot of people don't understand why they're actually put through the problems in their life, or why did this happen to me, God? That's always the question. Why did this happen to me? Why did this person die in my family? Why did you choose me to suffer this loss? But here's the thing that we want to understand, that we're dealing with, this whole story is dealing with a troubled atmosphere. And a lot of times the troubled atmosphere starts and begins in our home before it gets in the neighborhood, amen? Because a child comes up in the home. So now we have a true atmosphere that is injured and that is congested with total drama, amen? We're looking at Ruth and her mother-in-law, her sister-in-law, her brother-in-law, and her father-in-law. But death partakes in the house. Now, this is what blessed my spirit, is that God used a famine in the land of Judah. But watch this. It set in motion a beautiful drama. The very thing that God set, that famine that was in Judah, amen, and we know that Judah stands for praise. We know that Judah stands for praise, and here it is, the very people that was one at one point of the life was actually in a moment of praise. You know, it's a terrible thing when everything is going good for you and everything is in lining with your praise. And here it is, you're in the midst of rejoicing and praising God, and here it is, total drama starts in your life. Folk begin to die. You lose your job. Your husband now tells you after a 15-year marriage stretch that he no longer wants you. And you're thinking you've done all the things that you're supposed to do in that marriage. And you realize, and you're wondering in yourself, God, what did I do wrong? Or God, why did you allow this to happen to me? But in the midst of your praise, the enemy will attack. The enemy will come with confusion, and he will cause a famine. But see, a lot of times this is the problem. A lot of times, if something happened bad in our life, the first thing we want to think that it's the enemy. But see, God is the one who allowed these things to happen, to bring out a greater purpose in you. The second thing I want us to look at before we take off and deal with Ruth, the second thing I want us to look at is the opposition in Israel. Now, we got to understand that the Moab people were cursed by God in time past. And being that Ruth was a Moabitess, she came through an ancestral generation. Amen, dealing with Lot and his daughter. But we got to understand something, that in spite of her having these difficulties in her life, God still blessed her. Now, here it is. She comes with her mother-in-law, and she comes to a place where her husband dies, her sister-in-law husband dies, and yet her sister-in-law, Oprah, says she's going to return back to the place where she was most common. But Ruth says within herself, she said, listen, I don't care what you want to do. I see a great value in my mother-in-law, and I'm going to stay right here, because I see purpose here. See, sometimes we have to come to the place, no matter what people do around us, no matter how people react in this time of recession, of this time of drought that we're dealing with here in Florida and a certain around the world, we cannot let what other people do, amen, influence us. See, this woman, Ruth, had a vision. Amen. That's all the Bible was talking about. The Bible mentioned her going forth, and she said to God, that you, I heard the woman of God say earlier on the broadcast, she said that the God you serve, she said, I'm going to get to know him. I want to receive him. Listen, I've been serving Muhammad for so long, or whatever she's been serving. She said, but I want to know this man you call Jesus. Amen. That's the thing. So the thing that blesses my spirit is that she was able to detect something in her mother-in-law that was drawn, that intrigued her, that made her come to the place. She said, you know what? I need that. I need something different in my life. I understand where I came from. It's dead over there. But see, I understand that it's prayer going on. It's ministry going on here. And I can't relate with it, but I know that it's something in my spirit that is springing up. And I heard the man of God, Pastor Cooper, say earlier, he said that we got to stay in the promises of God. Well, I'm here to tell you, people out there that are listening today, my brothers and sisters and the onlookers that are looking for a word today, listen, God cannot give a greater promise if we do not obtain a greater vision. God cannot give that greater promise to your life if we're not already believing in what he told us in 2011. This year in 2012, there's some roofs out there. I hear a lot of women say that they're waiting on their Boaz, amen? Well, their Boaz is Jesus Christ today, amen? God has already instated with your spirit a greater strength that you can even imagine. The woman of God said that roof didn't even know what was in her. She didn't even know the bloodline that was in her, that what God was going to bring to her own bloodline. But I'm going to tell you something. God blessed this woman. God blessed this woman that she stayed faithful. And not only that, when she became pregnant, amen, and she gave forth to a seed, the Bible said that her mother grabbed that child and she nursed that child and she held that child close to her bosom. In other words, what I'm saying to you is this, she supported her ministry, amen. So I want to let you know something. When was the last time you supported to somebody next to you, their ministry? It could have been your daughter ministry. It could have been your son ministry. I think sometimes as people of God, we must come to a place when we notice a roof around us, a roof that is now our dwelling. We got to push people sometimes. Amen. It didn't make sense at first why she wanted to follow her mother-in-law, because the mother-in-law felt like everybody that she even came in contact with would die. Amen. But Ruth said, listen, it might have died, but I see a greater life in you. I see a greater vision in you. I see a greater opportunity in you. So she didn't leave, amen. She kept on pressing. She kept on walking with her. She went out every day. She labored, amen. She knew that her labor wasn't in vain. She didn't go out there get any attention. But at the same time, what she did unto the Lord, and God renewed her and watch this, favored her in the midst of a drought situation. Sometimes, listen, we might be dealing with a drought situation. We might be going through something right now, but I'm letting you know out there that, listen, God has not only prepared a royal line in your spirit. Listen, it's the prayers that your grandmama don't put up. It's the prayers that your mother put up. It's the prayers that somebody put up in store for you. Nobody knew you was going to be born through your mother, but God already predestined your life. And I don't care what the devil say. I don't care what he's brought into your life. I'm encouraging you right now today to stand on the word of God, and you be strong and confident to know that God has birthed a greater purpose in you. And listen, you don't know how your boy is going to come. We need to stop looking at the Boaz in the physical sense, but we're looking at the Boaz as the Holy Spirit, amen? The Holy Spirit, amen, is thy Redeemer. He is the one that's going to come, and he's giving you strength. He's giving you hope for tomorrow. Listen, you don't know what's in you, but the Holy Spirit does. Give him and allow him the opportunity to bring forth that child in you, bring forth that ministry in you, bring forth your prayer life, bring forth your worship life, because there is a greater strength in you. So my encouragement to you today is just trust God, no matter how it looks. Amen. Grab hold and ask God, show me the royal line that you placed in me. And don't let me, God, sit down on what you have already ordained. So prepare yourself for a greater move, not only today, but tomorrow, because there's a greater purpose in you, my brother, my sister. This too shall pass. The word of God says, That the thing, amen, that we thought wouldn't happen, amen, it would. In other words, you got to call those things which be not as though they are, amen. Ruth called those things which wasn't right then, but she called it to pass. So my words to you is to be encouraged. Look at the life of Ruth, and embrace your Boaz, which is the Holy Spirit, amen. Trust him, talk to him every day, and listen, commune with him, because in you. And through that source, amen, he will prepare a greater royal line in you. Amen. I love you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you so much, Reverend Smith, for sharing with us, for giving us what God has given to you. What a blessing. What a blessing. And yes, to all our panelists, to all the men and the women of God that thought it not robbery to be used of God on this day, to be able to bless the people from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, from the four countries, from every place that this broadcast will be able to go into. We thank you for letting and allowing God to use your mouth to speak the unadulterated, uncompromising word, to give light as a dark place, to give understanding, to give illumination through his word. Let us go before the throne of grace. Somebody out there today that needs Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, somebody that has been thinking about giving their life to Christ, somebody has been given, thinking about even coming back because there are some backsliders out there today, and you need to come back to Christ. You know, God loves you. God is in love with you. You know, God didn't leave you, and because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But I want you to know today that God is married to the backslider. And if you are a backslider, or if you someone that have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, we want you to get to give you this opportunity today to say yes to his will and yes to his way. The Bible says we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. You know, the word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it does not matter what you did on yesterday. God is talking about right now. God is speaking about right now. Whatever you did, don't let the enemy cause you not to come to Christ. You may have been a drunkard. You may have been a prostitute. You may have been a fornicator. You may have been a liar. Whatever it may have been, because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God that God has forgiven us of our sins and our transgressions. And the same way that he forgave me and others for our sins and our transgressions, the same way that God will forgive you for yours. Are you ready? Why don't you ask the Lord right now? Say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Save me. Deliver me. Make me free. Help me to live this life so that I can live again. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I will be faithful. I need you to help me to be faithful. I need you to help me to be righteous. I need you, Heavenly Father, to make the difference in my life. Father, right now, for all of those that prayed that prayer, Father, I ask thee, God, to forgive them for their sins. I ask thee, God, to come into their heart. And I ask thee, God, to save them right now. And I thank you right now for casting every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. Thank you, God, even now that they are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things are become new. Lord, I thank you, Father God, because the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now because they have given their lives, they've given their heart, God, unto you. Now, Lord, we thank you right now for the breakthrough broadcast. We ask thee, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, even now, as we reach out, God, even unto, Lord, our listeners, the hearers, Lord, I pray even now, God, that you would touch their mind, that you would touch their heart. God, that you would touch them, Father God, like never before. God, those that are struggling. God, those, Father God, have a spirit of confusion. Lord, those, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, are without substance. Lord, God, today, our Papa, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray even now, God, that you will touch them. Those that are pressed, be pressed on. I pray even now that you will call, God, deliverance, God, to be manifested in their heart, in their mind, in their soul, in their spirit. Lord, I pray even now that you would touch them. Lord God, that they would be liberated through your word. God, that they would be changed, God, through your word. Father, I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray even now for every infirmity. Lord God, that you would touch infirmities of the body. God, we pray healing, God, even right now. God, those, God, that have sickness in their body, those, God, that the doctor have given bad reports. Lord, I ask thee in Jesus' name, no matter what it is, God, because you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask of things. And, Lord, we thank you right now for the power of your word. We thank you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for paying the price 2,000 years ago for their healing and for their deliverance. God, I bind all cancer. Cancer, I command you to be null and void. Cancer, I command you to leave the bodies of the people even now in the name of Jesus. All mental problems, even now, Father God. We pray even now, God, that you, God, will cause healing. Those with bipolar disease, God, those, God, with schizophrenia. Lord, those, Father God, in the might, the name of Jesus. Lord, God, with nervous condition. God, with those of anxiety, Lord God. Those, God, that the enemy try to make them feel hopeless. God, those, God, that the enemy try to make them feel worthless. God, in Jesus' name, I pray even now to heal, God, in their mind and touch them like never before. God, lift them up, God, closer and closer to you. Father God, this I pray. And God, we believe your word. We stand upon your word because your word said heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle of your word will fail. And this we thank you. And we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for every soul that has been saved, every life that has been changed. The Breakthrough Broadcast would like to again thank Miss Helen Watson, Dr. Joyce Vine, Pastor Eric Cooper, Evangelist Geraldine Spencer, Pastor Francina Shanks, and Reverend Tony Smith for being our guests today on the Breakthrough Broadcast. This has been your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, inviting you to tune in on next week at 4 o'clock to the Breakthrough Broadcast. As if you need a breakthrough, and I'm sure you do, that God will continually give you that breakthrough that you need. And if there is someone that you know that will profit and will be blessed, and we know that they will, you ought to start today. You ought to call somebody and tell them to get ready the next Saturday as the Breakthrough Broadcast will be on the air. Until then, God bless you. May God keep you until we meet again.